The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, this is a very busy week. Our first full week back where we have all of our notes, all of the books to talk about. We have a lot to get to. We finish our wrap up with The Mandalorian. We talk Dracula. We both binge that over the weekend. That dropped on Saturday. We have some books to talk about. Obviously, some news to get to. Then at the end, we lock the door, hide the key under the kryptonite, and we get into Batman 86. There's a couple of neat little spoilers in there that we wanted to talk about. And we also get into Star Wars number 1 from last week. We talk about that, which we both really liked. We just talked about that briefly. So, lots to get to, so let's head into the store. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Back to normal this week?
I think so.
Our first normal week. We got all of our information.
Normal as we can be, I guess.
Yeah, well.
Considering who we are.
Exactly. Yeah, that's normal, right?
Well, I guess our normal.
Our normal. Right. That's who we are. Very exciting. We got a lot to get to tonight. We're gonna
do we?
Yeah, I want to.
Okay.
Well, we want to wrap up Mandalorian because we keep saying like, I mean, we're gonna do Witcher on Monday. So if we keep going, I mean, we were like, do we do Mandalorian? We could do We can wrap because we've been doing Mandalorian all along. So we'll wrap that up. I would love to talk about Dracula a little bit.
Did you watch Dracula?
Yeah, I did.
All of it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah, man. I like that too.
You want to do that right now?
I got into some tweets about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'll say let's keep to our format. we'll get to it later.
When is that?
Well, we have our news.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What we start with, right?
All right.
And we can go into
So how's your week, Ben?
Pretty good.
Good.
Can't complain. Yeah.
That's good.
Can't complain. You know, getting back into my normal too.
I know.
You know, I was off. I just went back to work Friday.
Yep.
So you know, kind of getting back into the swing of doing FOC, you know, getting back into my stuff.
Did your boss welcome you back with open arms?
He did.
That's nice of him.
You know, he kind of, kind of got on me for taking so much time off, but
I mean. But he still paid you well.
But he still paid me.
Yeah, there you
well,
go.
You know, I just lap up the profits, which aren't many, so.
Right. Well, I've been down there. You had. Is the kid still working at? I met like one or two of the kids. You got some good sales.
I know you met one. I know you met one for sure. Yeah, I've had the same two. I've had the same two guys pretty much since I opened. I've had a couple that have come and gone since then. But the two that I have been with me.
Yeah.
You know, for almost the whole time.
There with you.
He's
trying to upsell me.
I know.
I looked at you and started laughing. I was like, I was happy for the kid.
I heard it in the background. I was like, he's like upselling my buddy. That he knows I'm. He knows we walked in together.
I know. We're the only people there. It was so funny. And I was like, okay. That's cool. Good. Instincts. I like that.
Yeah,
like,
no, it was good.
He probably was thinking, because I know you, too. So
right, he probably
thinking,
was doing it because
don't
I
do
was
that,
there.
You're going to take him aside afterwards and be like,
right.
Look, I don't care who it is.
Yeah. Did you suggest to sell to my mother? Because you need to.
Right. Money is money.
I don't care if she just wants a water.
Yeah.
Sell her a statue while you're at it.
You know what goes good with water?
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Yeah. T-shirt.
Oh. I have a good upselling joke, but it's not appropriate for this podcast.
Oh, okay. So we'll just tease everybody.
Yeah, I'll have to tell that one later. Speaking of upselling, sales, and stuff, are you doing I was in Friendly Neighborhood today, and Marvel's doing that box thing where they're selling $35 for a box, and you get a Funko.
The mystery box.
Yeah.
I haven't really, to be honest with you, I haven't looked too much into it. So,
okay.
As of right now, I'm not doing anything with it.
So, I signed up for, well, three of them. I signed up because there's three boxes. There's an A, a B, and a C. And as of today, they said you have to sign up. If you sign up, pick your t-shirt size because you get a t-shirt in the box and they want you to get your appropriate size. But you don't know what's in the box.
Right.
But you have to pick A, B, or C. Right. But you don't know, and A is going to be one theme, B is going to be another theme, and C is going to be a third theme, right?
Yeah, they're mystery boxes. That,
right. Why?
Yeah, like it's like Loot Crate, basically.
Yeah, oh no, I get that. Why is there an A, if they're all mystery, why is there an A, B, and C? And then you have to pick one.
Right.
So like, say they come out with a Spider-Man box, like a Fantastic Four box and an X-Men box. And I really want the Spider-Man, but I picked C.
Right.
So why are they having you pick, but then on top
random.
Of that, it's mystery.
You're picking a random. Yeah.
You know, it's like, just make it mystery. Me, Ernie, and Slade were like, I don't get this. It's like.
Right. It should just be mystery.
It should and just flat out mystery. Yeah. But at some, we're hoping that at some point they come out and tell you what's in A, B, or C, and then you can choose the one you want, but it doesn't, it's, and that's a lot of, it's $35.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. It's like, I made the joke. I go, it's like Helen Keller at Foxwoods. It's like gambling. You don't know. What are you betting on? It's like, it's like the only thing you can do is screw yourself because you'd be like, I picked the wrong one.
Pretty
in
much.
A mystery. It's like, I didn't get it. So, but
So you signed up for all three?
I got all three, but I got a, but here's the thing. I got one for me, one for my son, and one for my daughter. So I got three t-shirt sizes. But what if they had like a, you know, a Gwen Stacy one that I want for my daughter, but that's coming in a large for my son.
Like, right.
You know, it's like, I don't know. So hopefully Marvel comes out with, there's got to be more information coming because choosing A, B, or C in a mystery is like pointless.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't looked too much into it. I did see it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to see. Based on what you just said, I may just continue to avoid it. So
I'll keep you updated because I've got right now, I've got $105 invested.
Right.
Like dumbass. All right.
I see t-shirts are only $20 a piece, so.
Oh, look at that.
Could have just saved some money and bought three t-shirts.
Yeah, and chose them myself.
I know there's other stuff. I know there's other stuff in
there's
there. There's
funk,
a pop in
there.
There's
a pop
and
all that. You know,
some other random
whatever.
Stuff. All I know is that when Loot Crate was a big thing, which it seems like it's kind of gone away now, I got more people bringing me in all the Loot Crate trash that they didn't want. Like just all the.
Oh, yeah.
The rabble garbage that. It just makes me leery on those mystery boxes because other than the shirt and the pop, you get about $20 worth of just stuff that nobody really
wants. Stuff that was left over.
So, you know, when I first opened, I had a mindset where I would pretty much buy or take anything that anybody brought in because
promotional.
I was trying to build up. Well, and I was trying to build up stock and trying to get a lot of things. And after about a month and a half of doing that and not selling any of that stuff, I started turning it all away.
Right.
And then I just threw it all, everything I had into a big box and taped it up and sold it for like $5.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
all right. On that happy note.
Yeah.
So what do you got for news? I got quite a bit here. I'm sure most of it matches up, but. What do you got?
Yeah, because I don't have very much at all. Just two things. I'm sure one of them you have also, but it looks like yesterday the CW, somebody that works at the CW just hit the auto renew button on their entire catalog of TV shows.
And let me ask you before you go any
because
further.
I think the only thing not coming back is Arrow and Supernatural.
Right.
And those were already coming back. They renewed everything they have on their whole network. Which is great if you're CW because they obviously believe in all of those shows.
Right. Or don't believe in anything they have coming up.
Right. But a couple of them I'm glad. Like, I feel like every year Legends of Tomorrow is on the fence.
Yep.
Because you just never know. Even though it's fun and I kind of enjoy it.
I love it. It just.
It's one of those shows that I don't think gets a lot of ratings and you know, it feels like it could go away.
You know what I think
time.
Of it? And I just thought of this today when I was thinking about it. I was like, they're kind of like the Monty Python of the CW. They totally just make fun of themselves. And it's a fun show that almost makes fun of the CW.
Did you see the title of the first episode when they come?
No.
When they debut this year? It's something like, the one where we're all stuck in the TV or something like that.
Oh, really?
Which is like a play on like the Friends titles, because Friends always had the one where this and the one where that. And that's the title of their first episode. So that's pretty funny.
That's good.
But yeah, so I don't think big surprise on most of that stuff. Like, we knew all the Arrowverse shows were coming back. I say that, but the other question mark was Batwoman. Because I had heard earlier in the year that it wasn't doing very well. But I felt like it would get a second season no matter what, just to feel, just to feel it out. And then, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. That is, you know, it has turned out to be my least favorite of the show.
Oh, really?
I don't really like it I don't like it as much as I wanted to. But I still watch it every week. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was good to see.
Dynasty.
And then the only other thing I have.
Really enjoyed.
Oh, what's that?
Dynasty's coming back. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's sarcasm, people.
I know. I was going to say, I'm not on that one.
I didn't.
There's a lot of
them
that I don't watch.
I know.
Because I don't watch Riverdale and I don't watch Legacies. Like, there's other shows that got renewed that I don't follow. I don't know about In the Dark either.
I've never heard of
it
until I saw it on the list.
The only thing I really watch on that network is the Arrowverse shows, and I watch Supernatural. But like I said, that's ending this year, so. I know Legacies is a spinoff of Vampire Diaries, which I did used to watch, but once they started doing those spinoffs, I didn't keep up with any of those shows. But yeah, the only other piece of news I have comes from Netflix, and it looks like back in 2015 they announced a Legend of Zelda live action show that they were working on, and then it just kind of faded away and you didn't hear anything about it, but now it seems to be back up in the news again, so it looks like, you know, they're back into production for that. So, I don't have a lot, you know, I don't have a big investment in that because I wasn't a big player of the games.
Yeah.
But I know that there's a huge following for it. And I know that the genre of the show that it's going to be is still something that I would enjoy because, you know, it's Lord of the Rings, Witcher, you know, slash all those shows that I like anyway. So it is something that I will definitely want to watch. But, like I said, I don't have a lot of skin in the game because I didn't really play the games. Now, my son loved them. So he, you know, he might be all about that because he played all those games. So, and that's it for news that I have for this week. So,
all right. Did you see Colin Farrell confirmed as Penguin for the Batman?
I thought we already knew that, but I didn't see it this week.
Well, it was rumored and now it's supposedly confirmed.
Now it's supposedly
Now the rumors
confirmed.
Are it's confirmed.
Okay.
What was the other? Oh, I got a couple others here. Marvel Studios is rumored to have gained full control back for Hulk and Namor.
I saw that. I thought that
from Universal
Namor was rumored to be the villain for Black Panther 2, and that may still be the case. But I think that was when he was like going to be on loan from Universal, and if he's going to be under full control, heck, we might even see a full-blown Namor movie. You know, I mean, because Aquaman was a huge hit for DC, and I'm sure Marvel is anxious to get into the underwater arena with their movie.
Yeah.
And see where we go. And, I mean, again, they're very similar characters in a lot of ways, but they're also really different. So it wouldn't really be like watching the same movie again because their backgrounds are quite a bit different, other than basically being underwater and being the king of Atlantis, which they both are. The stories aren't really the same, so I think there's still room for that movie to do well.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
plus having the Marvel stamp on it, it really doesn't matter what it is. It's exactly. just going to do well anyways.
Exactly. So.
But again, I would like to see, to me, it's more, like, that's a Disney Plus show more than a movie. Because I think it lends itself, because of all the intrigue and the drama and
Could be, yeah.
You know, all the stuff with the, you know, the war against the, basically the landlubbers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think, well, again, we've talked about it before anyway. Like, I want everything to be a Disney Plus show. Like, I don't really want movies anymore.
Yeah.
Because I want the 5 or 6 hours of story as opposed to 2 hours. So.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I was waiting for you to finish. I'm like, that's what we keep saying is we just prefer shows now because the shows
have
gotten so good.
Right. The quality up is, you know, and again, we haven't seen the Marvel shows yet, but just looking at The Mandalorian, you know, the quality that you get there.
Right.
There's no reason to not prefer that.
Like, right.
You get, I mean, The Mandalorian was short, but we still got probably 4.5 hours. We still got 2 movies.
Well,
worth
you
of
had
content
that epic finale
it.
That was long, 48 minutes.
47 minutes. Yeah. 48 minutes.
Yeah. It's probably 45 with the credits removed.
Right.
But yeah, it's. The only thing, and I'm finding this doing the home theater podcast, is that I love the stories in having that long drawn out shows, but the quality is like of the images, it's just not as good as a disc. So now I'm like, especially the Mandalorian.
Well, right, you're gonna want to buy. Right, you're gonna want to turn around and buy it again.
I'm gonna be buying shows. Especially like The Mandalorian. I'm dying for that to come out on disc.
I don't know if I'm going to go there yet. Oh. I might, you know, I say that and I might end up doing it anyways.
Yeah.
At least the Star Wars ones.
Right.
I don't know if I'll do all the Marvel ones.
I won't do all of them, but I'll do.
But yeah, The Mandalorian seems like, you know, with a good disc and, you know, the 4K and the Atmos, which we never really got, even though it said we were supposed to get it.
It says it on the screen, but I'm still getting
it.
Yeah,
you just don't get it.
Whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so it might come through better on disc.
But
yeah, I don't know
I
can.
I love. The
I don't
long
know that my
format.
Wallet can buy. Yeah, my wallet can afford me buying all these.
Yeah.
Shows.
Especially the price, because the shows are usually like $40 because you're getting more content. But
yeah,
maybe Mandalorian will be a little cheaper because it's a shorter show. I don't know. But then again, I'll pay regardless.
I wouldn't hold my breath for that.
Yeah,
they're still going to say 6 episodes or 8 episodes.
I know.
Doesn't matter how long they are.
What about the news about Christian Bale in talks to play Beta Ray Bill in Thor: Love and Thunder? Did you hear that one?
Yeah. Well, it's
there's
rumors. A lot of rumors of a lot of characters. Well, he's rumored for a number of characters.
I like this one.
I think the rumor that he's talking to them is probably very accurate.
Well,
it's just which character we just don't know.
Right.
Because I've heard Mephisto. I've heard Beta Ray Bill. I've heard a couple of characters that he could play. But I'm all for it. Like, I think Christian Bale is a great actor. So,
in looking into, did you know that, Beta Ray Bill is on the cutting room floor of Ragnarok?
I heard that.
Yeah,
yes.
That's pretty cool.
Now, the reason why I'm not sure Beta Ray Bill is because he's too pretty a face to be a horse. You know what I mean? Like, but you know what I mean? It's like,
did you see The Machinist?
He's all CGI though. Like Beta Ray Bill is pretty much all CGI. It'd be more like, you know, he'd be like Groot basically.
Yeah.
Just a voice. Whereas like if he was Mephisto or somebody, you know, you get more Christian
Bale.
Yeah.
You get Bale. More Bale. Bale for
you
your
get
buck.
More Bale for your buck.
Whoa!
You owe me a Coke.
we were both trying to
but
get
either
it out
way,
first.
Yeah, either way, I think, you know, I hope he does join the movie. I mean, I think it'll be great. And I'm dying for Beta Ray Bill to make his appearance somewhere. But like I said, I think he's just a big CGI character. You know what
right.
I mean? It's not really. And I mean, Thor, I mean, obviously he would have to appear in either Thor or Guardians 3 because those are the only movies that Marvel where he really would make sense to show up.
Yeah.
But in one of those two movies, I really hope that we get to see him because like you said, especially since, you know, he's already been planned to show up once already.
Yeah.
So
another piece of news, going back to Star Wars, did you hear the controversy going on with J.J. Abrams and Star Wars and that what we saw isn't his cut?
Well, yeah, but I think he's just trying to piggyback off release the Snyder cut or something, because now I'm seeing release the JJ cut.
Well, yeah, but I...
And really what it seems to me is a lot of backtracking because he doesn't like the flack that he's hearing from a certain segment that doesn't like the movie. So I think he sounds like he's trying to defend himself by saying that Disney forced cuts that he really didn't want. Because I've heard up to 3.5 hours worth of movie is like what his cut is.
Right.
Almost to the point where they were talking about potentially doing like a Harry Potter thing and doing two movies.
Yeah.
To tell the story. I've even heard that in a month we're going to get an announcement that we're going to get an extended cut in the theaters. Like, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I don't know. All I want to know is whatever the final cut is, it better be in my $250 box set. Because I don't want to buy that box set and then have to double dip and buy another copy of The Rise of Skywalker.
Let me correct you just a slight bit. You don't want to have bought, because you don't want to buy. You already bought it. You're in the same boat as me. It's
we can always return it.
That's true. It's bought. You can always return it, but I'm not returning it.
But the problem is, I want the other 8 movies still. So I'm going to end up having to buy this stupid movie twice.
See, so but getting back to the controversy is.
But
I've had conversations with listeners. I've had conversations online. I'm trying to figure out where. Like, when you read what Abrams is saying, it's like, I'm like, I haven't pinned it down yet, because some of the conversations, it sounds like he's angry. But that could be the people that are telling you that he's angry when he's really not. Because I've heard stuff that he's angry, but it's like, if he's that angry, that doesn't bode well for it coming out. Because if he's yelling at, say he's really angry and Disney's really angry with him, you think Disney's going to release his cut? Because they're going to be like, no.
Well, sure, if it puts more money in their pocket.
Yeah.
Because here's what happens. You and I have gone to see this movie twice already.
I'm up to
and
three.
Paid for it in the theaters. Okay, you've seen it 3 times. But if they come back in a month and say, we're gonna come back out with another 5 scenes, we're all going to buy it. We're all going to see it again.
Yeah.
Right? And then we'll buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray, even if we've already bought the regular version. So I don't think like MAD has anything to do with it. If they can make a buck off of it, they're gonna do it.
But my point is, JJ is really angry though. That's what I think. I don't think he's angry. Yeah. I think they're trying to say like what Peter Jackson did, and it's like we cut it down to 2.5 for playtime. You know, in the theater, you get more showings in a day at 2.5 than you would at 3.5.
Exactly,
and which means more dollars because you get to play it more times in the theater. You sell a disc, you only sell the disc once, so give them a 4-hour movie. Who cares?
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Like, a lot of people are not down for a 3.5-hour movie experience anyways. Like, I don't care. Even if you could squeeze the number of shows in a day, you'd get less people wanting to invest that much time into it.
You and I said right after we saw it, we thought the 2.5 hours was awesome and we didn't need any more information. But the rumors that I'm hearing, some pretty cool information.
Yeah, well, there's more about Palpatine's backstory. Yep. There's some, you know, I guess more to do with the kiss. Supposedly, I've heard the kiss wasn't in his original cut.
No, JJ didn't like it. He didn't want it.
So
he sides with Meg.
Yeah. I kind of do too after listening to her talk about it. But
I don't love it. It's not like – I don't want to sound like I'm like it's my favorite part of the movie. I didn't – it doesn't bother me.
Right.
And if you listen to the guys on the Nerdy Legion that what have you watched this week or what am I watching this week, their podcast, they love – they're like me. And they're like it totally fit in Star Wars. They thought it was great because it was – it matched all the other kisses throughout Star Wars.
Right.
Which – and I thought they made a great – I think I mentioned that before. They made a great case for that. So to me, it's like I wasn't trying to argue with Meg because I loved it so much, but she absolutely disliked it.
Hated it.
Right. You know what I mean? And to me, it was like I thought it was nice. It didn't bother me. It's not like I was like, finally, yay, they're together. No, I didn't think that. I just thought it was a nice, like, all right, that's cool. Move on.
Right.
But anyway,
I know for sure one of the deleted story threads was Lando and Janna. Yeah. Because she was definitely intended to be his daughter, and that was supposed to come up through the storytelling. So that's also a you know, a story point that I'm sure would get worked back in. My only thought is, and like, this doesn't really have anything to do with it because they, people break precedents all the time, but we've never gotten a director's cut for any Star Wars movie ever. You know what I mean? Pretty, I mean, I guess you could call the special editions the director's cut.
Yeah, yeah.
But not really. You know what I mean? Cause well, they didn't really add length. It's not like they added a lot of extra time.
Just
they didn't
girth.
Turn the movies. Yeah, exactly. But they didn't turn the movies from like an hour and a half to 3.5
right,
hours.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't really ever get the director's cut of a Star Wars movie like they do with a lot of other films.
But if a,
so,
but if a Star Wars movie was ever going to get it, it would be this one because there are no more.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it.
Well, and like I said, they break precedent all the time. So just because we've never had it before doesn't mean we won't get it now. But it's just not something you ever see. You just never see Star Wars, the director's cut. So, and I'm sure there's other stuff in all the movies too that were cut out.
I think they're going to release it just to create more buzz. I mean, Star Wars dominates the internet anyways. You release another cut and people are going to love it and hate it.
Right.
And it's like, my favorite are the people that hate it because they bought it.
Now, I guess my,
and they're watching it.
Right. And I guess my thing is, anybody that already hates the movie, I don't think the director's cut's going to turn them around.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So it's already the people that already loved it are just going to love it more. And the people that hated it,
don't
they're
buy
not going to all of a sudden like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So another piece, have you seen another Star Wars tidbit? I've seen rumors that, and I didn't mark this, but I know I've read about it. Disney is in talks, legal talks, to be able to release the original trilogy in its original form. Have you seen that?
I didn't see that as a current news story, but I know that, you know, it's been rumored for quite a while. It once again won't be part of the $250 box set that we buy.
That doesn't bother me, but
so well, it'll bother me in the sense that you drop $250, you should get everything that you want, you know. Because now I'm going to have to spend another $100 to buy them again.
Well,
you know?
No,
it's going to be a $400.
Well, that could be, yeah,
$30 a pop. It's going to cost me another $100 to get that. And $50 more to get the director's cut of. So now I'm $400 into this.
Unfortunately, they're in the business of making money, and they're damn good at it.
I know, but it almost makes me want to just wait and buy them individually at 4K. You know,
yeah.
I'll just buy the 6 movies that they're not going to mess with now, and I'll wait for the other ones to show up.
Yeah.
So,
so we finally published our rankings.
Yeah.
And we got a reply from @DorkPodcast. They gave us their rankings. And their rankings go from worst to first. They have episode 1 as worst, which pretty much seems to be hands down. Episode 2 is 10th. Solo at 9. 8 is, what's that? That's Rise of Skywalker. Last Jedi. Episode 3, 7. Then you have Force Awakens at 6. Return of the Jedi at 5. Rise of Skywalker at 4. Rogue One at 3. Star Wars at 2. And Empire at 1.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Well, there's some similarities there to ours.
Yeah.
But it's... I mean, I guess the numbers that count are pretty much the same, almost like the first and the last ones make sense.
Yeah.
Everything else is just where you fit it in. Like, I don't find Solo to be the third worst.
I almost feel like episode 1 and 2 are just luck for most people. I have seen people
ranking them really high,
which those are surprising. But for most people, 1 and 2 are like, that's a lock. And then everything after that,
at the bottom,
everybody is a jumble of the next.
And
like,
for most people, 4 and 5, you know, A New Hope and Empire are locked at 1 and 2 for most people also.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, so you get your top positions and your top two and your bottom two are almost universally agreed upon. And then it's just how you fill out the middle.
Yeah.
So, and I know yours is a little different because you've got Rise of Skywalker at number two.
Yeah.
But
that's almost like interchangeable for a lot of people. Like, I haven't had any reasonable people. And I call them the Star Wars fans. Everybody else, I don't, the people that get really angry, I don't even think they're really Star Wars fans. Cause why are
I don't
that,
either.
Why are you that angry? And people are see it, like, even, Mark C even said on Twitter, he's like, as soon as we put it out, he was, you know, he's like, oh, I, those seem great. He's like, and I don't see an
they
agenda.
They seem reasonable.
Yeah,
right.
Those seem reasonable, and I don't see an agenda. And that kind of made me chuckle because I was like, what would an agenda be?
Well, yeah, but lots of people have their agendas because they try to review bomb and they try to, you know, get people to dislike something that they dislike just to prove their point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
not us.
Like, for instance, if we both, but for instance, if we both ranked Rise of Skywalker dead last.
Oh, yeah.
That would seem like there's an agenda there.
That would have been the title of the tweet. We have Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker dead last. What do you think? Right. When you see those tweets, yeah, keep going. All right. And we have.
And I love all the tweets that say such and such is going to happen and the internet is so angry about it or this or that. Like, I saw a tweet today, like, Regal Cinemas, I guess, is adopting Pepsi over Coke in all their theaters. And it says, and the internet is so mad about it.
It's like,
are they really? Like, is the internet really that mad about it?
Right.
It's like, I prefer Coke to Pepsi too, but I'm not that mad about it.
Do like
you know?
Everybody else, bring your own drink.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, it's always like, and the internet is losing their minds, and it's like,
so
nobody's losing anything. It's just clickbait.
Here's what I do, and it threw a lady for the loop, for a loop. Just recently, they redid the concessions at our theater where they just, you buy a soda and they just give you a cup, right? So you pay for a large cup, a small cup, and then you go and fill it up and whatever. They don't, you know, whatever. So before they did that, I used to go in and say they had the souvenir cup. I'm like, could I get a souvenir cup with ice? And I bring my own drink.
Right.
Because I don't want soda. I want this, but I want the cup. And the lady goes, do you want something in it? I'm like, nope.
Right, she goes, ice.
I go, just ice is fine. The soda part's actually free. Yeah, I know.
Right.
I'm like, I don't want it. I want the cup.
Right. I just want the cup.
I want the cup, you know. But now it's they don't even question it. And I used to do it if it was an afternoon. I'd go in, give me a large. And I'd pay for a large paper cup just to get. So I'm still giving my money, but I brought my own drink. But yeah, I don't care what they serve at the, who cares?
Right.
Bring your own.
Right, exactly.
Don't try and create a Twitter issue.
Exactly. It's like you're just creating a controversy that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
So
Comic Busters replied to one of our tweets about Barry. My tweet that I said, phew, this means Barry will survive the crisis.
Oh, I was thinking Barry, like the HBO show, Bill Hader.
No.
Which is great, by the way, just a sidetrack.
Yeah.
But.
So, that was my saying that Flash got renewed for season seven. So, but Comic Buster said, can you imagine if he was evil? I mean, I know he's not. However, would he be the strongest of all villains if he was? Oh, that's podcast worthy? Question mark.
Who? Barry?
No. Comic Busters is asking, is this...
Right, but is it asking if Barry would be the strongest of all villains if he was evil?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is
Reverse Flash?
Zoom?
Yeah.
Or Zoom. Reverse Flash the strongest of all villains? Because that's just evil Flash.
Right.
And I don't think so. I'm trying to think of who would...
No, that's...
Right, I mean,
that's
I'm sure
I
there's lots
it.
Of villains. Like, he's still not... you know, Darkseid or Thanos worthy or,
no.
you know. So.
No, but I remember.
But I mean, that power set is, you know, it's pretty powerful. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, Barry's not the strongest hero.
Right.
So I guess it wouldn't translate that he's the strongest villain.
Right. Yeah. Just, I mean, go back and watch season one and they, you know, with Zoom and or Reverse Flash and,
right.
You got the whole thing right there. And he was a pretty pretty good.
Oh, he's
villain.
Pretty powerful. Yeah, he's pretty powerful. Don't
especially
get me
when
wrong,
you throw in that whole time travel thing, and he shows up again
on,
later.
It depends on whose book it is. Like right. if it's the Flash book, he's the most powerful hero in the DC universe. Yeah. But when you get to Aquaman's monthly title, it's Aquaman. Oh, so
Flash can't swim.
I mean, yeah,
he can run on water. So,
right.
Yeah.
But once I swim really far, he can't get me. So.
Nope. All right, that's all I have. You have anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, which do you want to talk about first before we get to some books? Do you want to talk about? Well, let's wrap up Mandalorian.
I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave it up to you.
Let's wrap up Mandalorian.
All right.
So, what did we talk? We talk about the second to last episode and the last episode?
I don't
episode?
Think we did. We really only talked about the first two or three, and then...
We kind of talked about it all along really, doing our Star Wars yeah. things. That's why I was like, so Star Wars
we talked
Wars
about
heavy.
The Bill Beer episode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess just the last couple that we didn't really touch on. So, I mean, I guess we're going spoiler free at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's been a few weeks, so. The best part of this finale, hands down, is like the first 5 minutes. That opening monologue with the two,
yeah.
the two biker scouts.
Yeah, that finally, and they're, was it Jason Sudeikis?
Jason Sudeikis getting all kinds of internet
yeah.
hate for
I don't
punching
know
Baby
who
Yoda.
The other kid is.
It's like, you know, he didn't really punch Baby Yoda, right?
Right.
<It's> like, Baby Yoda's not real.
Yeah, it's.
And he didn't really punch him. But just the back and forth, cause it's just like me and you sitting on
speeder
sitting
bikes.
In our car.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, then they're like, I forget what they were trying to shoot at, but
it was
of
like
course,
a can
like
on
they,
the ground.
Yeah,
like,
they can't hit anything,
no.
right? The one guy is shooting, he can't hit it, so the other one feels compelled to pull his yeah, gun out, and he can't hit it either.
Like we've said, though, the nods, like J.J. Yeah. Abrams' nods and Favreau's nods in these,
yeah.
and it's like, the things I like about stuff like that is where, like you said, it's like me and you on the speeder bikes, but it's also
right.
like me and you as directors, like, you know what would be so cool? Let's have a couple right. of stormtroopers that can't hit a can't hit the broadside
right.
of a barn. That'd
right.
be cool, you know. It's like,
right.
but
it's like they're sitting there waiting while they're like the guy saying,
yeah.
"Don't come into town," you know.
Yeah.
We'll let you know when
we'll
you can come
you know.
In.
Ugh. And they're all
and they're
like
just
disgusted.
Sitting there. Yeah, and it's like,
I like,
why are we even doing this? I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Yeah,
you know.
Ugh.
It's like, but yeah, it, like you said, it's just. Favreau, who grew up a lifelong Star Wars fan like a lot of us, getting to play. And that's
yeah.
all it was. And, like, to me, I mean, I'm going to say this, and it's a little bit of hyperbole because I've seen better things on TV. But, like, that's the best thing I've seen on TV.
Right. Yeah.
All year, you know what I mean?
I like when he took the...
It was just so good.
When he took his blaster and he shook it, it sounded like yeah. a can of paint. Like a spray
yeah.
can. He's like, tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
But it's stuff like that throughout the entire show. And I think, so what was funny is we did our Christmas on the Briggs family did their Christmas on the Thursday before that show aired. And I'm talking to my brother-in-law, and he has three kids that go from 12 to like, six, I think, is the youngest. And they love the show. And talking to him about their perspective of the show, it actually gave me a new perspective of the show and Disney's, what they're thinking and everything. And we kind of alluded to it after the first show when we were saying how, like, because we were going through Titans and everything and how complicated Titans is. Right?
Right.
With all the characters and so much to follow. And it's like you have to pay attention to everything. And we love it. It's not a bad thing. It's just, it's different, right?
Right.
Mandalorian is super simple. It's
right.
30.
You can't really have the one guy.
It's 30 something minutes. And you're right. like, at the end of the show, you're like, that was great. I can't wait for more.
Right.
A kid's attention span is even less. And for
yeah.
them to be able to create a show, he's saying his kids love the show. They get the show. You got Baby Yoda. You've got this. Plus, you have all of those little nods that the father can then turn to his kids and go, you know what that means? That's the
right.
And they have it's creating conversations for the kids and the family. And you're regenerating everything we had when we were kids. And
right.
they're doing it with The Mandalorian where, but it's a well enough made show that you and I can talk about it for hours, but it's also designed to bring in those new young kids that like it. And granted, my sample size here is my three, you know, niece and nephews. But I got to imagine it's working. And for them to pull that off, I think that's pretty cool. I wouldn't think of it from that perspective other than that conversation.
Well, and the other part of it is too, you know, we're focusing all around just this 5 minutes of the episode, but the part with like them not being able to hit the can, that didn't reference anything that ever actually happened in Star Wars itself, in the movies, nobody ever made fun of stormtroopers because they couldn't hit anything.
Right.
That was to the fans, you know, so it wasn't even like that is the ultimate fan service.
How accurate they were.
Exactly, right? It's like, only Imperial troopers are so precise. Well, not really, but yeah, like that was a nod to us. It wasn't even a nod to the show necessarily.
Right, exactly.
Or to the trilogy. So that's what I thought was so great about that, you know, the way they could do that. But then it brought into canon that basically they really can't hit anything.
So what else did you like about that episode? I loved the whole entire, the standoff. I thought that was.
Yeah. I say the whole thing with, IG-11 coming back again, and his whole arc through that was great. You know, kind of his sacrifice in the lava river towards the end was, you know, was really well done. And
and we saw why his self-destruct going off.
Right. Yeah. I must self-destruct. But you know, we finally got to see, we got his name, Din Djarin. Which we already knew because we had mentioned it. But the first time it was mentioned in the show was in that last episode. We finally got to see Pedro Pascal, which was great. But really the standout is Giancarlo Esposito, you know, Moff Gideon. Was great. Great character. I love that we got the Dark Blade. So I was like, how is that going to bring Rebels into this? Are we going to see... You know, I definitely got to watch Rebels again.
I'm in the middle of,
I'm about to start. I polished off the latest season of The Expanse last night, so I can start watching, Clone Wars again and put the 40 hours into that it's going to take before February 17th.
Is that when it drops? February?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know if I'll be done in time for that, but, you know, I really want to get into that and see how, you know, that gets integrated in going forward into, like, season two of The Mandalorian. So, I mean, there was a lot. But he was really, like, he stole the episode, I think. He's a really cool.
Yeah, he was really,
really
good.
Cool villain. Yeah.
His dialogue was great. I love the way he just...
Yeah, when
I can't remember.
Like
it was a while since I've seen that episode. But I can't remember the name of the gun that he was like...
Oh, I can't remember either.
Like,
but he goes,
the predecessor of this was picking.
Right.
It's like,
yeah. It's like, basically, you're screwed.
Yeah. He's so and, business-like and it just right. like, in his mannerisms. He's like,
yeah. He's like, I'm just going to, I don't really care if you live or you die. It's just
yeah.
Like,
the only thing I was wondering is like, he goes through that whole spiel of everything and I thought he'd go like, and I'm giving you 30 seconds to come out, and he looks and the sun's at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He goes,
right. He's like,
I'm
giving you
until
sundown.
Really?
Right. I could order. Here's like 4 hours to stew on it. You know what I mean? You know, we got to see the blacksmith Mandalorian. She was pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, pretty. Yeah, I don't want to say because I don't want you to bleep me out. But you know, she could hold her own.
So, I'm stifling you. Look at you.
Yeah, you are. My creativity is dead.
That's what you call creative.
Yeah, just cursing.
Gotta let the expletives fly.
Right. But yeah, I mean, honestly, what was not to like about that episode? I mean, it was a really great finale.
I got
you know,
a John
really
Bowman
kinda,
for you.
Oh, yeah.
If the IG unit can walk through the lava, why didn't he get out and just pull the boat back the other way?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, as soon as he got out, I looked at Joe and I went, wait a minute. He can walk.
Well, but where
this
were they going to go? Like they had to get out sooner. They had to get out eventually. So
the reason they were going that way is because the lava was taking them and they couldn't stop it. And then IG gets out and walks. It's like,
but I think he was kind of melting as he was walking, wasn't he?
I don't think
he could have stayed in there that long. Hey. You know, don't really know because then he just blew up. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Stumped you on that one, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, where do you speculate this is going to go in season two? What storyline
really
do you have?
Thought, well,
so like, are we
really
going to see?
About it.
Are we going to see a race of Yodas? Because that's what he has to do.
I know that. Like, there's been several tweets this week from. Taika Waititi, however you say, isn't it?
Yep.
Taika. Talking about how, you know, he knows the name. He knows Baby Yoda's name and race, and that it's a spoiler for season two. So I'm sure we're going to get that information for season two. I think we talked about this last week, where they've confirmed other original trilogy characters to appear. In season two.
We just don't know what they are yet.
Again, we don't know who they are. They could just be the other bounty hunters or what have you. But I really kind of expect more of the same. Like, this was almost a show of the week formula that we had.
Yeah.
Until we got to, like, the last two episodes. So I think it's going to be kind of more of the same. But I would definitely expect to get some more information with the child. And,
yeah.
Maybe we get to see his home planet and, I don't know, like, that's a big reveal. Like, does Lucasfilm let that happen in the show or do they want to save that for a movie? Like, for 40 something years, we've wondered about Yoda's race and home planet and all that stuff. And, like, that may be a reveal for the next trilogy. I don't know that we'll get that much information in the Disney Plus show.
Right.
I mean, we're probably going to get his name.
The next trilogy, which takes place 300 years ago.
They're saying the High Republic era, which is like 400 years prior to the Skywalkers.
Right. Which means,
you know,
Yoda's middle
Yoda
age.
He's like a young Jedi, basically, at that point. So,
well, he's actually middle-aged. I don't even know.
Middle-aged,
if he's
I guess.
Because
right.
if it's 300-400 years ago, he's about 500
right,
years old.
Exactly. right, so that's, you know,
so that's like
our
50.
Age.
Yeah, it's like 50, right. So that's what I mean. He's like a middle-aged Yoda.
And he's really the only character that can transcend the next trilogy, right? Like, the only connection we could have between trilogies would be Yoda.
Yeah.
Nobody else could survive. So maybe we see his home planet there, you know, and his, you know, race and all that stuff. I don't know. It almost feels too big for the show. You know, it's like a secret we've been wondering about our whole lives, right?
So. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It feels too big because of the way they do things, but it's almost so big that it's something that should be in a show because it would take that much time and content to explain it, you know, or that's what we'd want. But, all right.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to be talking about this constantly.
Oh,
so.
Always. Right?
Exactly. So. Dracula.
Yeah.
That was a fun surprise.
It was. It was kind of like it dropped on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Dracula. I didn't really know anything about it. And then I went to watch it and I was like, oh, it's only three episodes.
But
now, granted, they were an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right. It was still 4.5 hours worth of stuff, but that's just an evening. Like, I went through all three episodes in a night, you know, on Sunday afternoon. It was really, unexpected, but I really liked it a lot.
Let's go spoiler free for people.
Yeah,
that...
and I was going to say, I guess based on, well, this is almost a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, but just based on the way it ended, I don't know that we get another season. Like, it almost feels like it was a one and done kind of thing. I think so. I mean, obviously, I didn't even know about this, so it's too early to tell if we're getting a second season or not. But I really liked, I don't know how to really talk about it without spoiling anything, but I like the way we moved through his life. Let's put it that way.
Right. I felt, so what was funny is I saw you mention it on Twitter, or was it Martin?
Well, it was Martin that actually brought it up. I had just so happened that I had started watching
it. You were watching
also.
It. Right.
And then when he said, oh, I can't wait to see what your reaction is to the second episode, I was just starting that when he tweeted that.
Right.
And so I made a comment when it ended, and then obviously I was going to go into the third episode and just finish it out.
Well, and what's funny is, so I saw that, and I said to my wife, I go, let me check this out. And she's up on the couch. She's not feeling well, but I go, if it's something I think you might like, I'll stop and we'll watch it together. Right. And I couldn't stop. I just kept, yeah. I kept watching episode one, but that was later at night. So I was like, you know what? I'll wait and I'll go on to episode two. And the next night I did episode two. I told her, I'm like, you're going to like this. I'll watch it again with you, but I'm going to go watch some more.
Right.
So I go down to watch episode two, and that's where you get hooked. That's where, I mean, one was awesome. You're hooked after one.
One was good, right.
But you're going to have a hard time going from two to three.
And not watching.
So when you go to watch two, just, I'm telling you, be ready to sit down for three hours.
Right. Have 3 hours available.
Exactly. Maybe a bathroom break, but
you're
not going to want to take the bathroom break at the break of the intermission of the two shows. Cause you'd be like, what the hell? Because it was a great ending and a great start back up. And, I mean, you'll get 10 minutes in, hit pause, then go take your bathroom.
Exactly.
Break,
but, go do your business or whatever.
Right. But,
I couldn't wait to get to the beginning of the third episode. Yeah. I was like, holy crap.
Thank you, Netflix, for the 5 second start countdown. Here we go.
Right.
The only thing is, I will say, between one and two, I don't know if you felt this way. Between one and two, didn't it feel like at the beginning of two, it was almost two separate stories?
Well, yeah. Like you said,
I was these are just different stories about them. Okay.
Right.
But it's not. They're all tied together.
They are all tied together. But yeah, it felt like they were almost going to be three anthology style episodes. Yeah. But then when you get to two and three, they're not that at all. One almost could have stood, like you said, you could have watched episode one and then gone to bed and gone the next night and watched episode two.
After one, you felt complete, like it was a complete episode. And then when two starts up, it didn't feel like it picked up from one.
No,
does.
It
trust
didn't.
Us. It does.
Right. But it's a completely different. Again, I don't want to spoil it, but it's just a different period in time.
Right.
You know, I mean, we all know he's immortal, so.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I don't know. And I really liked, you know, in some cases it knocked some of the myths, you know, it played with some of the myths a little bit and it changed some things about the mythology, but everything made sense. You know, like nothing felt like it was done just for TV purposes or whatever. Like I said, you know, from somebody that's seen Dracula a million times, like,
in
this is not a
formats.
New story.
Yeah, no.
I mean, we've all seen it a million times, and there was a lot of very familiar elements that were all familiar with. But
yes, I'm familiar.
But then again, but there was enough in there that just was different and really interesting. And like I said, it was a surprise because I just wasn't expecting it at all.
What I thought was fun, and this kind of, this isn't a spoiler, but at the beginning, you're in a world where Dracula, nobody's familiar with Dracula, which was kind of unique. Usually when you hear a Dracula story, you'd be like, ooh, vampires, and people know that. No, you're coming in to Count Dracula, the person.
Well, yeah, but there was that scene. There was that scene at the beginning, though, where when Jonathan Harker is being dropped off at the castle. You know, like the taxi drivers there were like, we're not going any closer. Like, we're dropping you off here and his driver will come get you. But like, we're not going up there. So like people knew something was up with the castle.
The knowledge wasn't there is what it was.
Right. But to like, oh no, buddy, you're on your own from here.
I thought some of the special effects were a little hokey.
Well, they were, but this was done with the BBC.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it was.
Blame it on the British? What are you trying to say?
No, but I'm saying it was almost kind of TV budget in a way.
Right.
Where, obviously they didn't have, you know, feature film money to do this.
Yeah.
But that being said, they weren't bad, but definitely you could tell that there was some cost cutting that happened with some of the effects. But like I said, I think this was done, you know, it might have even aired BBC, which would just been broadcast.
Yeah, I think it was. Know,
so, yeah.
But it was definitely check that out. It was so good. It was
because I don't think it was made with Netflix money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Netflix produced it. They just host, like, they just bought it for the
bought
States.
The rights
yeah.
and put it on, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I like I said, I think it flew under the radar a little bit.
I didn't even know it was coming out.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know till Saturday when it came on, and I saw it popped on my phone with a little thing that said, "You might like Dracula." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I might." You know,
you are correct.
Yeah, you are correct.
I had seen it too, when especially, you know, watching The Witcher.
Right.
And you see that, and I was like, "Oh, okay." And I thought the same thing. I'm like, "Oh, I'll wait and watch that with Jen." And then you guys start talking about it. I was like, "You know what? Let me see what it's like."
Yeah.
And now, day later.
Yep. Now you're done. Yep.
Phew. Glad I got that done. All right. We ready to get back on schedule here and talk about some comic books? It's been a while.
Yeah. It has been a while.
All right. It's been, what, 3 weeks since I've said this?
Yeah, at least.
All righty. Here we go. One, two. All right. What am I spending my money on this week?
All right.
Well, that felt good.
Did it? Spending the money or just saying it?
Just saying it. Just
you just like to hear your own voice.
Clearly.
So, all right. So the first book we're going to take a look at is from Image. This is Clock Number One. You know, it's getting a little bit of conversation online. Sales aren't super high on it. The highest sale that I could find was around $6. So just a little bit over cover price. Like I said, there are a few people in the spec groups that are talking about it. So keep an eye on that. It's also one that we could hear any week from now that it's been optioned for TV or movie and, could jump up. This isn't one that I have to talk about for today, but I did read it. And you know, it would lend itself to any kind of TV series. So, who knows on this one? But it may be worth, like I said, picking one up for cover price. Next we have The Magnificent Miss Marvel, issue number 11. This is the first full appearance of Storm Ranger. So I know that's a new character we talked about last month with number 10. There was a cameo appearance. Prices on this one are trending around $10 and up. So, definitely, you know, again, one to pick up in your store this week if you can. From Boom, we have the second printing of Red Mother number 1. These are all being listed, at $10 also on eBay. The Boom second prints with their last couple of series have been outpricing the first prints by quite a bit. If you look at, Once in Future and Something is Killing the Children, the second prints are really the ones to grab. So this could also be one. Now, this series isn't going to be as popular as either one of those two, but it is still really good. Like, you and I both liked this book a lot, and I actually can't wait to read the second one. So,
yeah,
this may be one to grab.
Can I tell you a funny story about that one?
Yeah.
We liked that book so much, I bought it again today.
Did you buy it thinking it was number two?
No.
Or did you buy it knowing that it was a second print? Okay.
No, I forgot. I forgot I bought it.
You forgot you bought it. Oh, so you liked it that much.
I got it home. I saw it was a number one. I saw Boom. I saw it was a number one. I really liked the cover. I was like, you know what? This is going to be one of my recommended readings for today. Yeah. I know I'm going to like this. I get home. I'm like opened it up. I was like, I think I read this. I kept flipping. We've already done this one.
Yeah. So can I tell you a funnier story? I got 6 copies of this in, and I must have thought it was number 2 that I was ordering, because I don't know why I got 6 copies of the second print of number 1, when I still have first printings on the shelf. So I must have somehow doing
so well.
I must have done FOC somehow and thought that I was ordering the second issue.
Yeah.
Instead of the second print, because I got a whole bunch of the, well, a whole bunch, but I got six copies of this in today. And I thought it was number two until I got to looking at it, and I was like, oh, this is the second print of number one. So
okay, that's the end of our episode, everybody. Where is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I'm hoping they stay in the $10 to $12 range because I can pop them all on eBay and sell them.
Exactly. I have a copy. What the heck?
Yeah. All right.
Bright Side's running a sale on Red Mother number one, second print.
Well, hey, well, you can get 10% off at your local store if you mention that you heard it on our show.
Do we give 10% off of our own books?
Right. Well, you could give it away for a prize later on. All right. The next book we have is Star Wars Rise of Kylo Ren, issue number 2. So this is one of those books that went crazy and I didn't even know about it. The first issue, you know, because I was off through Christmas. First issue came out right around, I think the week before Christmas. And like this thing went nuts and it kind of flew under my radar. The first issue sold out and is selling for like $30 to $40. I didn't even get a chance to read it because I sold out and before I even knew about it. So the second issue number two kind of is the same. Like I didn't order up on it because I didn't realize that number one was such a hot commodity.
Right.
So number two was sold out for me before I even checked them all in. And I had people asking for it all day today, but, this one's selling for about $10 for the main cover and the 1 in 25 variant selling for about $40. So I have to believe that this is really riding the, Rise of Skywalker wave.
Yep.
Because it's obviously it's telling, yeah, obviously it's telling the story of Kylo, who played a big part in that movie. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to have to find it in, hopefully in our Dropbox from a few weeks ago and see if the first issue's in there. Cause like I said, I didn't even get a chance to read it, but, that's definitely one that you want to grab if your stores have any left. Cause I have a feeling it's going to be tough to find. And then last but not least, we have X-Force number 5. There's a Dark Phoenix variant cover. That's selling for about $6. Again, not super crazy, but it's a great looking cover. So it's definitely would be worth picking up. As far as that's it for speculator books. I'm a little rusty on this, so
I need to get back into the swing of things. Sounds like when we first started.
Yeah.
All right, what do we have for back issue bonus this week, John?
All right, so surprise, surprise, the first book in our back issue bonus is The Witcher, issue number 1. This came out in 2014 from Dark Horse Comics.
That's shocking.
Shocking. I don't know why this is going up. I can't even hazard a guess. Selling for $80 to $100.
We're not that bright.
Yeah, right. Selling for $80 to $100 for a decent raw copy. And I would expect this to increase. The Witcher TV show is getting great reviews on Netflix. They've already renewed it for season 2 and beyond. So this thing is not going anywhere. It's only going to go up in value. I'm going to go back to my old standby. I've said it before. You know, the window's already closing. If you want this book, you better get it and pay your $80 to $100 for it because it's, like I say, it's only going to go up from here. I have to imagine there's a lower, you know, this can't be a huge print run from Dark Horse Comics from 2014.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how many of these are out there, but it's definitely going to be one that you're going to hold on to and it's going to continue to go up. Next, we have Angela, Asgard's Assassin, issue number 1. This has a couple of minor first appearances. This book went from a, you know, you couldn't give it away a couple of days ago to, you know, graded copies now selling for about $150. Not sure how long it's going to hold. So this may be also one of our get it and flip it type of books. But right now it's hot, so I would get it and flip it. Next on the list is Kanto, issue number 1. This is from last year, IDW. This one's kind of been up and down ever since it came out, but it's back up right now, $35 to $50 range. Again, there's talk of this being optioned for one of the streaming services. And I never really went past issue two for some reason, but the story I can definitely see being popular on you know, if it hit Netflix or what have you. So definitely wouldn't be a bad pickup. Next from Marvel, we have Stormbreaker, The Saga of Beta Ray Bill, issue number one.
Ha-ha.
So, yeah, as we alluded to earlier, there's a lot of rumors about Beta Ray Bill showing up in the next Thor movie. This is trickling down. Like, this is not his first appearance. It's just an early appearance. His first appearance is Thor 337. That's already a key book that's pretty expensive. So this is one that's, like, easier to get into, $20 to $25 range for this. So if you're looking for some of his earlier appearances, this might be one to grab. And then last but not least, we have also from last year, Image Comics, New World number one. This was optioned by Warner Brothers, so you know the deal there. cheap copies are selling out on eBay, and $20 looks to be about the high right now for that. And probably we'll see that continue to go up as the news of that project comes out. So,
cool.
And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. What do we have for FOC for next Monday?
All right. So this was a fairly small FOC as well. It looks like they're still getting into the swing of things. Unfortunately, a lot of cover images were not available. But we do have a few that we can talk about. From DC, we have Batman 88, our trusty friend Francesco Mattina. Nice. always turns in good covers, so this one is no different. I also liked from Dan Quintana the variant cover for Daphne Byrne number two.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was really creepy looking. I liked it quite a bit. And then Justice League Odyssey number 18 is Skahn, which we're starting to see more of Skahn, lately. He always sounds like a Star Trek villain.
Especially when you say it that way.
Yeah.
The Wrath of Skahn.
The Wrath of Skahn. I could just see Bill Shatner screaming that name, you know,
Bill.
From the Bridge of the Enterprise. So, and then new series from DC, we have Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. This is issue one of four, and there's two covers for that. That finishes out DC. From Marvel, we have variant covers for Black Cat number nine, Carlos Gomez. And then for new series, we have Ant-Man issue number one. There's five covers there. These are all multiples, by the way, so I'm not going to say it for everyone. We have Conan Battle for the Serpent Crown, issue number one of five. Dark Agnes, issue number one of five. Star Wars Darth Vader, number one. And then X-Men Fantastic Four, number one of four. From Dynamite, we have Miss Fury, issue number one. Standard 37 covers from Dynamite. From Titan Comics, we have Adler, number one. This is from the Sherlock Holmes universe, Irene Adler,
yep.
Getting her own title. And then last but not least, from Zenoscope, we have Van Helsing versus the League of Monsters, issue number one. Didn't say, but this has to be a miniseries. I just don't know how many issues because it wasn't listed.
Yeah.
And again, Zenoscope has its standard five covers, A through E. And that's it for FOC.
All righty. That's great. We have up next is Book Club.
Yep.
This week I have one that we both read, and so we each have one that we didn't read.
Okay.
The other didn't read. So do you want to go first with your second one?
Sure. So I guess the first book we're going to talk about is from Titan Comics. This is Doctor Who. This is the 13th Doctor, Season 2, Issue number 1. So talked about it before. I'm a big Doctor Who fan. So, you know, I'm kind of in for this no matter what,
so,
because I like the character.
Can I, the title you just so I'm a little unclear. I don't follow Doctor Who.
Right.
I'm a little so it's the 13th Doctor, but season 2.
Yes.
Okay. Because so, the title we have it says Doctor Who 13th season 2. So oh, I thought it was 13th season, but then I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me when I read it earlier.
Well, it's 13th like Who fans will know. Like okay. Doctor Who fans would know right away that it's the 13th Doctor, which is Jodie Whittaker. But yeah, so her first season as the Doctor on TV was last year, and there was a comic that related to that season.
Okay.
So this is basically season 2. Although I don't know how this story is going to relate to anything we see on the actual season on TV, but in any case, this, you know, revolves around the 13th Doctor, but she also is meeting, David Tennant's character, which was the 10th Doctor. And they're both in this book. So this is written by Jody Hauser and it had art by Roberta Ingranata. So I really like this book a lot, but like I said, I'm in for these characters anyways. This had everything that I like about Doctor Who. You know, two of the doctors kind of, interacting with each other. It featured, a popular villain from the, you know, from the mythos. So if you like Doctor Who, there's nothing not to like here. It was written very well. The art I didn't love. I think, was it last week when we talked about Star Wars and how difficult it was sometimes to, when you're dealing with, like, adaptations of real people in comic books?
Yes.
And how I thought Star Wars did a great job with that. This one a little bit less so.
Okay.
Like, other than the fact, like, that you could tell by what they were wearing in the comic, like, there was no real likeness between the characters in the comic
really?
Versus the TV. Yeah.
I
don't think she did a great job with that. Like I said, it's just based on how they were dressed is really the only way you could tell who was who. But like I said, the story seems interesting. This definitely has a cliffhanger. You're going to have to read the second issue, to find out what happens. And like I said, without giving anything away, if you like Doctor Who, pick it up. There's nothing not to like. So, That's really it for that.
All right. Actually, I was going to say, I'll just move on to my book.
Okay.
I just switched it up quickly because we're both going to talk about the other book anyways.
Okay.
Marvel's X, number one, Alex Ross, Jim Kruger. Did you read this?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
So did you read Marvel's?
No.
From like 20 years ago?
No. And
okay.
That's why it kind of intrigued me. At first, I wasn't going to read this because I had read the backstory to it and I'm like, oh, it's a prequel to Marvel's from what? That was 99. I wasn't reading at the time. So, okay. But that's why then I thought about it and I was like, you know what? Let me see what it is and give it a shot. And I'm glad I did because I might actually, it's actually piqued my interest enough that I want to do a little research, maybe read that, but I actually don't feel like I need to. It's giving, because, well, for one, this is a prequel.
It's a prequel, right? So,
you know,
technically you don't have to read Marvel's, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like Marvel's, I haven't read it either, to be honest with you, but it's well regarded. Like it's not a
bad event. No, I know that.
Yeah. So,
right. And so, and this, and look, I'm part of this podcast. I go into stores all the time. I'm not as knowledgeable as you or Slade or Ernie or most of the people I talk to in these stores. But I'm comfortable enough. But to get to the point of like what TJ was saying, like when you first go into a store, you're nervous. Well, when I picked up this book, I was like, I was nervous. I'm like, well, I don't know the story. I'm not going to talk about that. But then I was like, well, wait a minute. What am I doing? So I picked the book up. And I actually really enjoyed it, and I want to read on, and it's made me want to go on and, you know, like I said, do some research.
Right.
But the story itself in this, they jump right in with a great opening. I don't even want to tell you, like, what it is, but it's – because I don't want to spoil it. It's fun. it, you know, main characters that you know, but then the story goes on from there about a dystopian past, future, whatever. But where if you know the story of the Marvel story, it's going to lead up to it.
Right.
But it's a very grounded story that is a lot of fun I shouldn't even say that. Let me rephrase that. It's a very grounded story that it really sucks you in. Yeah. I can't say that it's fun. It's not like a shoot 'em up, good time, having fun. It's just a good story. And I'm glad I picked it up. And that's somebody that has no idea what's going on. So right. That's why I wanted to talk about it and recommend it, because I think if you give it a shot, if you don't know anything, this might get you going on it. So.
Yeah. Well, I will read it. I just didn't get to it.
I know you will.
But yeah, I'll, you know, I have every intention of reading it. It's just not something I was able to get to today. But, I never read Marvels. So, maybe it's like you said, maybe this will trigger me to go read it after I'm done with it.
Yeah. I think it would. It's pretty good. Cool. Really good. Really good. I'm actually adding it to my pull list, to be honest with you.
Nice.
So, and let's see. Do you want to talk? We have two more books to talk about. Well, let's do Star number one.
Okay.
From Marvel. Writer Kelly Thompson. Art Javier Pena.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got it.
I'm assuming. I don't know.
And,
I like pina coladas, so.
Yeah, but there was no little sign over it.
I know. There was no accent above the N there.
Just pinna.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this one?
I liked it. I went into this book thinking that I wasn't, like, this is a book I didn't think I was going to care about all that much. I wasn't expecting to really like it. But I followed the character through Captain Marvel, so I was a little intrigued to see what they were going to do, because this is not a hero. Like, this is a villain story.
Yeah.
So, I was intrigued. I didn't even want to say I was intrigued, but I was wanting to see how they were going to turn her into a hero, basically, so that they could do a miniseries. And they didn't do that. Like, she is definitely going to be a villain, I think, throughout
at least
the whole
so
thing.
So far.
Yeah. But I ended up actually really enjoying the show. I mean, not the show, the book.
You got the wrong copy.
I know. I thought the writing was good. I liked the artwork quite a bit.
Yeah.
I liked all the all the times where she was, you know, trying to figure out how to use her powers. The sequence with her and Jessica Jones was great.
Yeah.
She's basically like, you know, for those that don't know, I mean, she's got the Reality Stone. It says it right in the title, so it's not really a spoiler. But she doesn't know how to use it. So she's trying to influence Jessica Jones, and she says, "You are going to help me." And she's like, "Well, right, I do have the urge to help you, but I still have all these other urges too."
Right. Right. I thought that was great.
I just thought that interaction was really good. And
she knows how to. She doesn't know how to use the Reality Stone to its full potential.
Exactly.
But she's using
it. She's just kind of, she's fumbling and making mistakes as she goes along. Like at one point, she wants to make herself strong, and she does, but she's still not up to the task that she needs it for.
Right.
So she's berating herself saying, "Oh, I should have said make myself the strongest one here," or something like that. So
this is another one that I added to my pull list because this was so much fun.
It was
simple. You know, the writing is really good in that you can, like, I love the thought bubbles, not dialogue, but like, you know what she's thinking as she's going along, 'cause she's trying to work through this.
Exactly.
And to your point earlier, you think maybe she's trying to be good. Maybe that's the direction they're going in. And it could still go that way. I don't want to say
it could, but I hope it doesn't.
But
I hope
it doesn't. Because it is fun the way it is.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you can have villain, but like Dr. Doom has his own book. The Joker gets his own book. So, I mean, there's precedent to have a book just a villain.
What's fun about it is you look at the cover, and the covers are mostly white. They're very vibrant. and it, you know, it's a good looking girl on the cover, and she's
that's what I'm saying.
Villain
they make
villain comes
right. That's what I'm saying. They were trying. It seemed to me like they were trying to portray her as like another hero, like yes. the Golden Girl, you know.
And that's what makes it fun, because when you open right. up, you're like, whoa,
yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. I yeah. definitely will read the rest of them. I kind of thought this was going to be a one and done. I was going to read the first issue and, you know, just put it down and move on. But I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah. That, this is another one. I don't know the backstory. I haven't been following that one in Captain Marvel. I knew of the story. I haven't.
Right.
Just because I've heard of it being in the stores and, oh, this is such and such.
Well, and we've talked about it. It's been part of the, speculator roundup.
Right.
Several times. Her first appearances and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So. That's my point. But I don't know the backstory. I don't know, right. like, and this was another one that I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And I'm glad I jumped in. Yeah. So, I mean, what a lesson today.
I know.
It's only what we've been saying for like a year and a half now.
Exactly.
All right. The last book we both read. So James Tynion IV. His first Batman 86.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I think it was fine. Like it was. Here's the thing. Like. Tom King's run was very divisive. I know you've mentioned it on right. Twitter today in conversations. A lot of people really liked it. A lot of people really hated it. So there's a contingent of people that are so happy that it's not Tom King anymore. And, you know, couldn't wait to get, you know, to the point where, oh, I can finally read Batman again because it's not Tom King anymore. And then you read this book and it's like, yeah, could have been written by Tom King. Like there was nothing revolutionary about it. There was nothing super different about it. It was just another Batman story. It wasn't any better or worse than anything else that I've read lately as far as Batman goes. So I don't think it was groundbreaking in any way.
I thought it was different, like I said, than King's book, though.
There was nothing bad about it.
No.
But there was nothing super great about it either, as far as it's my opinion. Art was great. I will say that.
Yes.
Tony Daniel, he's one of my favorites anyway, so I knew the art was going to be good. But I don't know. Like I said, it didn't really do anything different. Tynion's been writing Batman in Detective Comics for
quite
a while anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, more of what we've already been getting, I felt. So.
I liked the change of pace. I do think it's a change of pace from Tom King's run. And I think it's, in like you said, Tom King is divisive. Because of that, if you listen to the Bat Pod on the Nerdy Legion, they talked about it. I think it came out today, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
They were talking about how they, you know, especially Martin, really didn't like Tom King's run. He thought Batman was too emotional.
Right.
And that's fine. I agree with him. I just happened to like that. What I liked about it is that isn't Batman. And I thought that was fun. And okay, it's over. And I think, like what I said earlier on Twitter, is I think you need that stuff to reset the landscape so that when you do go back to some, because if you just keep rehashing the same Batman over and over and over, you have no good or bad. You just have Batman. But now you know it's like, okay, you didn't like that? Well, here's something you do like. And hopefully that's where Tynion goes. I think, I want to get into a little bit more in, when we talk spoilers on this afterwards, we'll lock the door. But there's a few little nuggets in here that I thought were fun. But you're right. I don't think it was groundbreaking, but I do think it was a nice change of pace. I thought the action was a lot better, a lot more than that we've had in the last, you know, while.
Right.
And in the artwork, I thought the artwork told the story as well as the
artwork
was fantastic.
The artwork is top notch. Like I said, it's really good. But I mean, that artwork in, with any one of Tom King's scripts would have been this, you'd be saying the same thing. So, like, good art is just good art, you know? I mean, it would have been good art if Tom King wrote the book too. So I don't necessarily think that makes it stand out necessarily, because in Tom King's run, you had different artists throughout the book that were right. better or worse. You know, anybody that wasn't named John Romita Jr. did a pretty good job. But
you just, I know you didn't hear Bat Pod today, but Martin said the exact same thing.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Well, he said JR, JR.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
He's universally disliked, too. But he still keeps getting work. Like, I don't know anybody that likes his artwork, but he still keeps on drawing.
I'm sure he has good artwork. It's just the bad stands out. I'll say that because I know there's been stuff that I was like, I didn't think it was that bad. And you don't like him because you have more of a history. And now I'm on your side of the fence. Whenever I see his name, I'm like, actually, I'm getting better at it. Now I see the art and I go, I know who did that.
You know right away who it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's hard to judge because it was just one issue. Like, we don't know exactly where the story is going to go. It could end up being very different as we go on.
I was surprised it was so short.
I just don't think, like, for the people that were so against Tom King and couldn't wait for something new to happen, I don't think they're going to read this book and, I don't know, and think it was so much different or better.
Well, you can only do so much in a book.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's why I thought it would have been a longer book.
It's hard to judge based off of one issue.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think it was that great or that bad either way. I just thought it was a fine Batman book.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you like Batman, it's a good book. I liked it.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have?
I think so.
All right. Let's continue this after we lock the door. But before that, rate, review, subscribe. On iTunes, please. That would be great. Contact us at brightside_chat. That's, wow, I'm out of... You know what?
Yeah.
You know what you can do? Why do I do this every week? It's in our show notes. Right. If you'd like to contact us, check
read
the show
our show notes.
Notes.
Right.
You can actually just click on some of them, I think. You can email us. You can tweet us. We're always looking for more conversation. Yeah. That good?
I think so.
All righty. And, yeah, check out the Nerdy Legion, as we said, through most of this podcast, because there's tons of good stuff over there.
Right.
All right. Let's lock the door. Hey, Fred. All right, all locked up.
Yep.
All right, let's jump into it. Do you think, all right, this is Batman 86 spoilers. You think Alfred's still alive?
Well, not based on anything I saw in this book.
No? You missed it?
No, I didn't miss it. I think it was a slip of the tongue, you know, where he referred to Lucius as Alfred.
No, not that. Earlier, he stopped by the hospital. You didn't see that?
Oh, I guess I didn't notice it.
All right, let me find it for you. He stopped by the hospital, but they don't tell you why he's at a hospital. And he's like, so meaning like almost like Alfred's on life support. Let me see if I can find it here. Please hold. He was talking to Lucius at the time.
Right.
And It was before he had said, Alfred, send a signal or whatever he said. It was before that. He was waiting on a rooftop and, because he was asking Lucius to get that new piece of hardware together.
Right.
The Night Climber, it's called.
Yeah.
Which
I knew that he was going to, like, we had talked before about Tinian was going to introduce a bunch of new vehicles into it. Like, I thought I'm trying to find it too, but I don't see it.
Oh, here it is. All right. All right, here it is. So, he wasn't talking to Lucius. He was talking to Selena, and Selena's the one that says it. She's standing overlooking the party, and then she asks him, well, they're good, blah, blah, blah. Have you made your move? And he says, not yet. And then she says, you're there again, aren't you? The hospital site. I can hear the rain through your cowl. I know you miss him. And then he says, it was on the way. And then that's the only conversation. That's it. And I think that's Alfred. I think they saved Alfred, and he's in the hospital, and he misses him, and he's just hanging out at the hospital checking on him.
It could be. I mean, didn't we have a grave scene in before time? I mean, no, we didn't really.
No, we had nothing. Yeah, we had nothing. That's the one to me that I thought was like, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. And then I read that. And then at the end, when he does the slip of the tongue, that made me jump like, what? And it was like, oh, it's a slip of the tongue. Sorry, habit. But they had already mentioned earlier, like, why is he hanging out at a hospital?
Yeah. You know, I just read right over that, to be honest with you. I didn't even catch it, but.
So I think all that saying that here it, you know, this is how they get him back.
I mean, nobody thinks that he's gone for good anyways.
No, I know.
I mean, everybody is expecting Alfred to come.
I thought they would have waited a little bit,
but
though.
But I didn't. Well, I did too.
And they may even wait a few. They could now wait a few more books and then say, like, look, in 86, he was only gone for literally a book, 85. Right. Because wasn't it 84 that he went?
No, it was 77. 75 or 77.
You're right. You're right.
He was dead for several books before Batman addressed it in 84.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah. You're right.
Because every one of those books just kept saying, this takes place before Batman 77 or whatever.
Right. So, yeah, but for timeline, he hasn't been gone very long at all.
Right.
In a timeline. So.
Right. Issue wise, it's been a few, 10 issues, but yeah, in Batman's timeline, it wouldn't be that. It's
probably been a couple of days.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I thought they were going to wait a couple of books, but they literally jumped right to it.
Right.
And I thought that was, I actually thought it was pretty cool the way they did it too. It was like a little bit under the radar.
Right. You know,
and I wouldn't be surprised if they wait a couple books to mention it again and then say, you know, they're back at the hospital that was in 86.
Right.
So, and one last thing is that Star Wars book, I did get to read that. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars number one?
Yeah. That was really good.
So, like I said, I liked all the tension with... Well, the art was good, but I loved the tension with Lando and, you know, Leia and Chewie and all that stuff. Because, like I said, you don't get that in the movies. Because you just go from one movie to the next.
No.
And
A good portion of the book... Immediately, like in that, literally, you're in Empire.
Right.
It took place in the ride from Bespin to.
Right. That's
where
why
you
I was saying
Luke
when I,
getting his
when
hand.
It was basically right when he got rescued from the weather vane.
Right.
Is kind of where it picks up. And yeah, because there's a good. Now I'm trying to refresh my memory, but there was a good scene with Luke there too, where he was kind of. Laid out in the Falcon, you know, with his hand missing. And
he actually has the visions too. He has a couple of visions of
that's what I was trying to remember. I'm trying to
of
go back.
Obi-Wan stuff that hadn't taken place yet.
Right.
But yeah, no, I definitely put that one on my pull list. I also added, I've already added Darth Vader too.
Yeah, because it's supposed to take place concurrently with this book.
Well, did you read the back of it? The little, like, synopsis of the entire series? It's, like, supposed to coincide. All the anniversaries coincide. That's why they're doing it.
Right.
And, I mean, so all the stories are going to be taking place in the same time period and leading up to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. Not I thought this book was really good. I know, but there's never too much Star Wars. Like, I don't know. When people say they need a break from Star Wars, it's like, I don't understand that. Like, to me, I'll never need a break from it. I'll never need a break from Marvel stuff. You know what I mean? I'll never need a break from Star Wars. I just don't get it. Like, we're on a break. Like, it's Ross and Rachel, you know?
Yeah,
I
was just going to say, my wife, I could use a break. But I could say that. She never listens this far.
She won't hear it anyways. But the other thing, like I said, I liked how they, they brought the Dameron's into it. Poe's parents or whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to find out more about them. So, Like I said, I'm interested to see these stories because these all become canon. Like, this is all Marvel, Disney, Star Wars. So everything that happens in these books is, part of canon. So I like seeing these interim stories. Like, the whole first run, I liked a lot. You know, all those stories between A New Hope and Empire that they did for those 75 issues. There was a lot of cool stuff that happened in there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was really good. It was really good. Looking forward to Darth Vader's coming out in March, is it?
Well, I know it's on FOC February? Monday. Well, it's on FOC Monday, so it's like three weeks. So
yeah, yeah.
It must be first week of February.
Yeah. So I've already signed up.
Yeah. I'm looking at this now. I'm looking at it. It's like, there's that scene with Lando and Chewie. He says, "I'm just trying to survive here, pal. If I pull anything funny, you can rip my arms off."
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get Chewie, and he's sitting there, and then he points over. It's like, that was great. Yeah. The art in this was really, like I said, it was really good. And that's why it stands out with the Doctor Who book, because it doesn't really... as I'm looking through this, I mean, this looks like Billy Dee Williams, and it looks like Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Leia, young Luke.
Right.
Chewie they nailed.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm looking through it, too. All right. That good?
I think so.
All right. Let's get out of here. That's enough for this. This has been a long one, too.
It has been a long one.
And next week, we're doing The Witcher. I got to finish up that series.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to talking to you about that one. So we will be back on Monday with The Witcher.
Yep.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production.
with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.